Hi everyone, it's Tim Emerson of Kuan Yin Healing, and I'm talking today with Linda Lang. Linda is a gifted healer and teacher who guides her clients to step beyond limiting beliefs, patterns, and unresolved emotions into higher states of health and happiness. She has over 30 years' experience in alternative healing, starting with healing herself from a rare and aggressive cancer. Linda is a master practitioner of NLP, a certified hypnotherapist, trained in Huna shamanism, Reiki, and a variety of other alternative systems to assist personal transformation. And today, Linda is going to hit it on the nose with emotions and health. So I'm looking forward to this. Linda, are you there?
I am. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here with you and the listeners today.
Thank you. I'm so glad you joined us. All right. Okay, so how do emotions affect our health?
Well, I think probably most alternative healers would definitely agree with that. Mm-hmm. Would you not?
Absolutely.
Definitely, definitely. And how is the pivotal question. You know, when we're feeling emotions, there's an energy to emotions, and that energy affects our body. It triggers hormones. It is triggered by our thoughts and triggers memories from our past. The problem isn't actually with emotions, because we are emotional beings, so we are here to feel and experience, and emotions do enrich our life and our experiences. The problem is when we don't actually feel them fully, or we try and push them down in our energy field, then they can actually become little pockets of stuck emotion that affect us on a physical level, an emotional level, a mental level, and even a spiritual level.
Mm.
Have you had that experience, Tim?
I admit that I have. when you bury your emotions, you bury them alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's incredible, actually, when you can trigger a memory that still has unresolved emotions, and you go into that memory, and the emotions are as real as if it were present tense. I remember teaching a workshop for EFT many years ago, and I was giving a demo of how it works. So I chose a memory, just popped into my head, of a time when I was a teenager and I was helping my mom do the dishes, and my birthday cake was in a Tupperware dish right beside the sink, and I ended up putting my birthday cake in the sink, and I was so surprised at how much emotion I still had, you know, 20 years later. So even if we're not experiencing the emotion in the moment, it doesn't mean it isn't in our unconscious mind and affecting our system.
Hmm. Not to mention that at the level of physics, there were time is an illusion, so things are actually happening all at once.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's that whole aspect as well. I know when I've worked with clients and they come with a physical issue, or they're just feeling stress or overwhelm or anxiety in their life, everything seems to be affected emotionally, or even have an emotional root, and things can shift actually really quickly when we address those old emotions. Even myself, when I healed myself from cancer, years after, I had received the awareness that all the resentments I had been holding on to before I that experience was actually stored in my leg. And so here I had this really aggressive cancer, and the only treatment that was recommended was amputating the leg. So it was just a big aha for me, remembering back all the times I was, you know, feeling anger or resentment or bitterness, that instead of actually feeling them and letting them go and coming to a place of allowing and forgiveness, that my unconscious mind just stored them in my leg. So I'm happy to say I have both legs and I've done my inner work, but it was a real, eye-opener for me when I had that insight.
Yeah, totally.
And I've run across that with clients as well. I had a beautiful woman who came to see me. She was in her 80s, and she came to see me because she was having trouble sleeping. She was waiting for a double hip replacement. And she thought perhaps I'd be able to help her to get some sleep. And so when she came, I work very intuitively, and I have a group of let's say spirit helpers that help me. And we uncovered that the root of her pain was because she had lost her only son 15 years earlier. So he was an adult. He was a fireman. She loved him so much. She was very proud of him. And she hadn't actually fully grieved losing him. And in fact, if you would say his name, she would burst in tears. So it made perfect sense that all that grief would be stored in her pelvic girdle, hence the need for hip replacement. So she came, had her first session, and she went home, she slept for 10 hours straight, got up, had breakfast, and went back to sleep. That's how tired she was. She'd only been able to sleep for about 2 hours because the pain was so incredible. She came 4 times in total, and miraculously, she didn't need the hip replacements. And that's about probably 6 or 7 years ago, and she still hasn't had hip replacement. So that's a really profound example of how unresolved emotion can be stored in the body and what can be done to let it go and claim a higher state of health.
I think that often...
I'm sure you have briefed.
Yeah, I think that often in our Western thought system that we tend to think of physical things as reality that has to be dealt with, and emotions as kind of things that happen to us, we talk about sometimes a connection, but I don't think we'd really truly embrace that something could be addressed at the emotional level, or that not dealing with something at the emotional level is going to have ripple effects in many, many ways.
I totally agree with you. I think most people separate the kind of belief systems, emotions, and the physical world. And more often than not, people are more willing to do something about physical discomfort more than their emotional discomfort, or if they have a lot of anxiety or beliefs that really trigger feelings of disempowerment, let's say. But it's really important to realize that we are holistic beings. We have all these aspects, and if something is out on any level, it can throw something out on one of the other levels. So I really encourage people to consider their emotional health as well as their physical health and mental health.
So how can people do that? I think that very often the common response is, well, you can't do anything about how you feel, right? I mean, that's just something that comes up. It just, it just happens. And there's, how can people start to work with that? How can people change those? How can people let go of them? Rather than it just being something that happens to them without any of, without them having any power.
Absolutely. So in the moment when people are actually feeling intense emotions, the trick is really to be present with them and not to be thinking about them and thinking what triggers them and thinking about how they could not feel this way and just actually feel it. Most emotions will dissipate really quickly once you actually feel them. Your system processes the emotion pretty quickly. Deep breathing is one of the best ways to actually process emotion. So you want a full diaphragm breathing and just being very, very present. And this, as soon as you start thinking about what it is that you're feeling, then you're not fully processing it. You can think about it after,
right.
But you want to actually just let emotion kind of go through your system so it doesn't get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, past emotions
mm-hmm.
are a different story because we can still have them, right? We can still have them. So if we think back to something in our past that triggers an emotional response, we know we still have a little bit of baggage going there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we need to do a little bit of inner work. And emotions are funny because they can come and go and come and go, that you can have an emotion be triggered and, you know, 10 minutes later, try and think about that emotion, and it isn't as intense. It's gone back into the unconscious. So there are things that can be done for people to work with on their own, either through like journaling, forgiveness exercises, through dialoguing with in their mind, people associated or body parts, even if they're having a health issue, they can ask that body part and really just listen and see what comes up from the unconscious, if there's any messages, any old emotions. There's some things that can be done on their own, and of course, when we actually work with a healer to help us, it's probably a little bit easier because we're attached to our stuff typically, and a healer has a way that can help us pull that out of our energy system, whether that's energetically or through conversation. It's incredible some of the awarenesses that come through when we have assistance.
Yeah, I describe my own work there as a catalyst. You can mm-hmm. do it yourself, but we can tremendously speed this up.
Absolutely. It's an incredible amount of work to do it on your own, and you have to be committed and really self-aware. And it's a journey.
Right. And confusing. I remember, you know, as many people know from here or there, you know, there was a time years ago when I spent a decade drowning myself in alcohol. And when I was getting out of that, all that repressed emotion came flying out at once. And so I would have these wild swings of emotion that weren't connected to any actual events. just intense emotions, but I had no idea why. And
it's like a culmination.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had no choice but to feel them, wait, and let go until it subsided.
Yeah. incredible. We can store emotions that we have no awareness of. I had another experience where I was teaching a workshop. Actually, it was less like a teaching and more it was a healing intensive. And through the workshop, we were releasing layers and layers of anger. And I had this beautiful lady come whose shoulder was frozen and she couldn't move her arm. And I thought it rather peculiar that she came, but she wasn't able to get in to see the doctor right away. So she thought she would come to the workshop. And by the end of our two-hour workshop, she was able to move her arm and raise it to shoulder level, not above her head yet, because I'm sure there were more layers. But the most fascinating thing to me was that she didn't consider herself an angry person, and she didn't consider herself really having any anger. And she actually had said that as she grew up, her family always considered her to be just a really peaceful, beautiful person who didn't have an angry bone in her body. So it was fascinating to me that she actually showed up at a workshop having to do with anger, and that clearing all these different layers actually helped her to unfreeze her shoulder. So did she have anger? Absolutely. She just never allowed herself to really feel that anger or express it, and it got stored in her shoulder. Totally unaware that that was happening.
That's amazing.
We are actually such incredible beings on so many levels. Sometimes our conversation will actually tell our unconscious mind where to store things. When we say things like, oh, you're a pain in the neck, or any place else is giving me such a headache, you're actually telling your unconscious mind to store the energy in a body part. So I do caution people to pay attention to their words, because their words have power. Our unconscious mind hears everything and takes it very personally and literally.
Yeah, that's a really interesting area that I'd love for you to talk about more. I have only one brief but powerful point about this, is that when we are in pain, and especially emotional pain, even though it's not me personally, we as people, we have a flair for the dramatic when we're in pain. And I remember, this was many years ago, but, I had someone I was very close to, break up with me with a 2 a.m. phone call from somebody else's bedroom. And I did not react well. And I was saying to people and to myself, I feel like somebody ran a sword right through me. Well, of course that's gonna hurt, and it did until I don't remember how long this was, because it was a long time ago and it's all distorted. But I vividly remember one day going like, you don't feel like a sword has been run through you. That would hurt much worse. This is mild compared to a sword running through you. Stop saying that. And that was the day I kind of turned the corner and got back up on my feet and stopped clinging to this.
Yeah, you've just given me goosebumps, Tim. Because it's so powerful. Our words are so powerful. How many people say, they felt stabbed in the back, or a number of other body parts that get bombarded with all this energy, and then our system just holds it. It really is very, very incredible. And there's so much more going on in our system than we're consciously aware of. So our beautiful unconscious mind really is our best friend. And its goal is to keep us alive and keep us safe. But it does take direction. So when we put energy into our words, or when we repeat things over and over again, they become beliefs and become direction for our unconscious mind. Mm. And so it is really important to consider our words, especially when we have energy. Anger holds a lot of energy. So there's passion in anger as well. There's a lot of momentum and force that can get stored in our system. So I hope you got that sword taken out of your back.
Quite some time ago.
Yes, perfect. But there's countless examples of people and just regular sayings. You know, you wonder, here in Canada, we had, for the longest time, we had a TV commercial that was about strokes, and it was just a black screen with white words, and the words were shaking, and there was like a kind of an ominous announcer that, do you have headaches, do you have blurred vision, and it was like, you may be having a stroke. And I literally wondered how this was affecting people's unconscious mind, because it was so dramatic. And who doesn't have a headache or, on occasion, blurred vision? And is this what we're suggesting to our unconscious mind? I just thought it was an extremely bizarre commercial. Anytime it came on, I would mute it and kind of walk out of the room, because I did not want to give that suggestion to my unconscious.
Yeah, I rarely watch TV shows with a lot of blood and violence anymore. They just don't sit well anymore. And I would rather watch something with a plot line. Other than, and then they got shot.
For sure. I mean, it does, those kind of shows do give the message to our unconscious that the world isn't safe. And when we feel that way, we just automatically will trigger having more anxiety and more stress and you know, more limitation in our life.
It's, you know, it's interesting, as I've listened to you explain this, Linda, I've often used the example physically of how people become identified with their physical ailments, such as people talking around the water cooler, and somebody will say, oh man, you know, my elbow is killing me, I can't, and someone else will say, oh, that's nothing. You should be glad you don't have my knees. Oh, and then somebody else will say, you know, you guys had to deal with my back. You'd be glad for your elbows and knees. And whoever is in the most pain wins. You know, it's this curious rush to the most painful.
It's no badge of honor, that's to be sure. And it's kind of bizarre. I think that there are a lot of people who really suffer, and the compassion or empathy that they might receive kind of is a little bit nurturing, and that can actually be a bit addictive for people. So there can be a little bit of secondary gain there when we receive some kind of benefit, whether it's attention or compassion or people give us things or do things or let us go to the beginning of the line. It unconsciously, then we kind of get that message, oh, this is serving us in some way. I often like to say that our body speaks our mind too. So there's, I mean, I have countless examples of people that, you know, have emotional issues that really affect their physicalness, you know, whether it's their breathing and their lungs or heart. I find the heart really quite fascinating to work with, actually. The, you know, people that have had heart attacks or have heart challenges, and if they have a heart attack, quite often what I've seen with the people I've worked with, it's like all of this emotion that they've been storing gets kind of cracked open, and they have to deal with all this emotion that they've been storing. And it's just like you, Tim, with your experience overcoming alcohol. That emotion is still there, and you have to deal with it. These people that have heart attacks often find themselves either very angry or very, very brokenhearted. That's another terminology we use. And they have to work through it and find their peace with it. And quite often, if they can do that, they're the most beautiful, beautiful spirits inside.
You know, that might also be why I had always thought of this on the physical end, but not uncommonly, someone who survives a heart attack, you see them months later, and they've never looked better.
Sometimes, I would say sometimes. I've worked with a couple of people that had to have a heart surgery that maybe wasn't quite so successful, and we were able to work through it energetically and emotionally and actually get them to a place where they could maintain, you know, better health and more presence and actually, like you say, enjoy their life again, be a whole new them.
Right.
But for some people that if they need surgery and it's not so successful, I mean, I would really encourage them to look deeper and do some emotional work, find themselves a good healer, and kind of clear out all that stuff, because the residue of those old traumas and old experiences and old emotions, it's really heavy and physically heavy. People are so surprised when we do this kind of work that they actually feel lighter and they look different. They have more energy in their face, like their eyes are shining and their skin is glowing. It's just fascinating. So, yes, we definitely are whole people that have emotions, thoughts, beliefs, and a spirit that's trying to be expressed through our daily life.
So it occurred to me, listening to you describe these things, that just as we have a race to the bottom and about our physical health all too often, we do the same commonly with our emotional conversations. How are you feeling today? Oh, well, I don't know. There's these, you know, and we go right to all the things that we don't feel good. Or even if we're in good health, like, oh, you know, there's this happened or that happened or this is going on in the world and everything is going to hell. And we focus on cling to and repeat rather than, and not in a healing sense, but just in a constant amplification of all the negative things. When the truth of the matter is, even when things are bad, there are a lot of things that are good. You know, as many bad things are going on in the world, most of the world is at peace, with some notable exceptions, yes, but the same thing when we're in a difficult place in our lives. Most of our lives, if we were to be coldly objective about it, are fine, with this maybe one glaring exception, you know, or even three. But how do we switch that from that tendency towards, to how you doing? As a matter of fact, I feel terrific. Let me tell you how. Let me tell you why.
I think you hit on some real pivotal points there, Tim, and I think that's probably why, my business is called Thought Change, because so much of our suffering comes from how we think about things and our perception of how things should be and how they're not, when in actuality they're really not as bad as we think they are. So I'll often tell people that, when we're dealing with a difficult emotion, there is no harm in expressing it to someone and sharing where we are in that moment once. The problem comes when we start repeating it as a story. Like if we share that kind of low place or intense emotion we're feeling once and we let it go, then we can move on. But if every person we meet that asks us how we're doing, we conjure the story up, we're actually ingraining it in our system. So it's really important to deal with the emotion as we're having it, not to pull it up, but as we're having it, and it becomes triggered, deal with it, let it go, and then kind of reframe it in our mind. And we can say things to our unconscious like, wow, that was really challenging, but, I'm learning so much about myself, or I'm learning how resilient I am, or find some way that you can find a benefit that's your ending story, so you're not leaving it on a pain story and then repeating it to the next person and the next person and the next person. I do definitely agree with kind of having a positive mindset, but it also has to be authentic positive mindset, that if you are ignoring your true emotional state, then that emotion can get stuck.
Right. But be careful not to set up camp there.
Exactly. Let process the emotion, breathe through it. Tell one person, if that's what works for you, or journal and write it out and then burn it and let it go. And you can even thank your unconscious mind for processing it. It's your if you imagine that your unconscious is like a six-year-old child, that's what scientific studies are telling us. Six-year-old children love to be acknowledged and to be thanked and appreciated. And if you start doing that for yourself, imagine how that will translate just with your own inner self-love and acceptance. It will be huge. Yeah. We've covered a lot of different territory in this conversation, Tim.
We have. We have indeed.
We have. The one last point I would like to really encourage people to do is to work on forgiveness. If they find they have a lot of really challenging experiences from their past, Forgiveness heals and empowers the one who forgives. That was actually a channeled message from Edgar Casey, and it's so true that when you hold a grudge or resentment, it's going to affect you more than the person that you're not forgiving. And I would say that self-forgiveness is actually probably at the root of most forgiveness. And there's some incredible alternative and energy healings that can help us move these old, stuck, residual memories and emotions that can help us move through it easier, faster, and more effectively. It's been my experience. I'm sure that's been yours as well.
Yeah, you're reminding me of a couple of different things I'd like to, we could maybe talk about how these connect. And one is, as anyone who's ever listened to Abraham would know quickly, is that emotions are reflections of our thoughts. And then I also heard another presenter in this series describe that the body is the subconscious mind. That manifestation. And so that's a lot of power for thought there. And I wonder what your thoughts on that is.
I always say that the unconscious mind and the body are married. And if you start to pay attention to things like body sensations and your body reactions, you will have so much insight and guidance. I actually give an ebook away on my website called Learning How to Listen, and that's exactly what that ebook is about, because of the immediate awareness that you can receive through the body. It's can open a whole door to intuition. So I agree that they're married. I'm not sure if I would say they're exact same thing, because to me, your unconscious mind is like your Akashic records, if you like, that it stores all of your memories and experiences. And also, it does run your body, you know, beats your heart and digests your food, triggers your immune system and your cell reproduction. And your thoughts do impact every aspect of that, definitely, and trigger emotion as well. So that's my own personal take on unconscious and body. And I suppose the trick would be, you know, once you pass from this life, your body ceases to be, but does your unconscious mind?
Yeah, the whole work of Taoist spiritual cultivation, which is very difficult.
What do you think, Tim?
Well, the whole work of Taoist spiritual cultivation is to transform energy, into an energy that you can take with you, but it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, it takes really a true master to be able to accomplish that. All right. Well. Quick and easy?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a deep subject.
How about a quick, easy guide to?
Quick and easy.
You find yourself.
A quick and easy what?
You find yourself with stuck emotions. You wanna do well, but there you are. You're feeling this. You're stuck. You're just feeling what you're feeling. Quick and easy. What are the steps people should take to start to move ahead?
Yeah, the most important thing is to be present. Be aware of that emotion. Be willing to feel it. Allow it to be, and breathe. We have in my Huna shamanic training, we have a very powerful breath that is something I recommend to my clients. You can just do deep diaphragmic breath, and that's going to be deep in through the system, and it's like your rib cage moves out in all directions. The HUNA breath that I'm talking about is called the HA breath, and during that, we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth with an exhale that's about twice as long as the inhale and a slight sound like a sigh. And if you do that for a couple of moments, it actually starts to shift the whole energy of the situation. You'll find the emotions will start to dissipate. You'll really come fully present in your body. And it's almost like a feeling of zen or peace will start to take over you. So that is definitely something that the listeners can use. But even if they don't have the presence of mind to do that, if they can just fully breathe, is the best advice I can give people in the moment. If it's something that they have a pattern with, like certain things that trigger anxiety or phobias or fears, or if they have anger issues or a deep grief that they need to let go of, or a lot of guilt, I would definitely recommend seeking assistance to help them work through that, because when the emotion is intense and it's a pattern, it is more challenging to let go, for sure. This would be my tips. There are certain acupuncture points also that a person can tap or press that can help release, definitely.
Right.
But breathing. Breathing is easy. Breathing is easy. We have to do it anyways, right? Shoulders down, if you can put your shoulders down when you're breathing, because if your shoulders are high, you tend to breathe in the upper part of your chest, so it won't be fully in. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of body posture involved. Again, if I direct people to the Learning to Listen ebook on my website, there are tips in that whole book is about tips on how you can be fully present and actually start releasing.
Nice. Now I know you also talk about using.
I guess I'll just give my website. It's thoughtchange.com.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughtchange.com.
All one word. Now, I know you also work with energy healing to help people.
You cut out there for a minute, Tim. Sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I know you also work with energy healing.
Thoughtchange.com.
Right. I know you also work with energy healing for people sometimes. How does that connect?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so how do
right?
How does energy healing help with emotional challenges?
I would say the bulk of my work is done energetically, because it is the fastest way to move. Yeah, really interesting. It's interesting. I suppose there are many. There are many, many ways to work with emotional challenges, many different ways to work with energy as well. So I've been trained in a couple modalities. I've received actually my own signature energy, as well as been given symbols in the dream world that I work with. And what I find is it's less logical. So it's less systematic and process-oriented, meaning that things can be moved on many levels all at once.
Hmm.
instead of being a systematic approach that you do this and you do this and you do this and you do this, when you can actually, like, energetically release that anger, let's say, it can go back through your system and pull it out of the body, pull it out of the mind, pull it out of memories stored at different places, without having to systematically do it, root out one experience at a time. It's a really slow process if you're doing your clearing work like that.
Right.
So energetically, it can, I like to do clearing work first and then bring in a new higher vibration energy to kind of fill those places. It's a way, I mean, you can just bring in new energy and superimpose it on the older, heavier energy, but my preference is to actually just let that stuff go so it doesn't actually impact the energy system. And then you build that new higher vibration.
Great.
So I guess we all have different ways of working with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had similar experiences. So. Absolutely. All right.
Yeah, and it's amazing and incredible, and you actually feel different. So that's what I love about working with energy work. You can still get incredible awareness without having to go through the pain and suffering of a process that takes you through all of your dark places.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people definitely to consider their emotional health along with their physical health and their thought patterns, because, as you mentioned earlier, our thoughts do trigger emotional responses. And that's just the way we're hardwired.
Mm, yeah. All right. Anything else you'd like to add on emotional challenges and overcoming them, or emotional wellness?
Well, I think the only other thing I'd really like to say and that I would end off is that I encourage people to embrace their emotions, because it really will make enrich their lives and make experiences more fuller and more joyful, especially once they kind of shift out of negative emotions and into emotions of happiness and joy and peace. There's such profound presence when you can actually experience your emotions fully.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We'll end on a high note.
Okay. Fair enough.
Perfect. Perfect. It's been an absolute pleasure being here with you today and having this most fascinating conversation. Tim, so I thank you for having me as a guest.
Oh, thank you very much for participating and for joining us. And I encourage everyone to visit thoughtchange.com and learn more about Linda's work and to download your copy of Learning How to Listen. And a lot of great tips there about being present and awareness, and get started on your own path to better joy and happiness and peace. Linda, thank you so much for taking time today.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay. Wow. A remarkable interview from Linda, and a remarkable story on emotions and its impact on our health. So, where to start? Well, she talked about kind of the connection between energy and our emotions. It can trigger thoughts and memories and remind us that we are here to feel and to experience. And that's all fine. The problem is that when we don't fully feel those emotions, then it has impacts on us physically. It affects us emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So a memory can come up and it has all those unresolved emotions. And we experience that as well as if it was the present tense, that our unconscious doesn't really appreciate this distinction of time. And so by addressing old emotions, we can shift really radically. And she used the example in her own case of cancer, in her case, have resentments that were stored in her leg, and that when she could allow forgiveness, she was able to reverse that without losing her legs and without continuing with cancer. She told the story of a woman she has worked with in her 80s who was facing a hip replacement, but this woman hadn't been able to sleep well at all, and she had also lost her son, a fireman, and she hadn't fully grieved. When this came up, Linda said, you know, this woman, you know, would just burst into tears. So they worked in releasing that, and she slept for 10 hours, got up and slept more, and didn't ultimately need the hip replacement. So a wonderful story. We tend to think of our beliefs and our emotions as separate things, but in fact, they're not. We are holistic beings. So, you know, that's the real challenge, of course, comes when we're facing a negative emotion and we're feeling, you know, set upon. So her advice here is to be present, to actually feel it, to understand that most emotions will dissipate once they're felt, and to practice deep breathing. And thinking about it isn't the same as feeling it. She was really clear on that distinction. So he doesn't get stuck, so it doesn't continue. We let it move on through us. If we have past emotions, you know, we still have that baggage. So and these things can come and go depending on what else happens. So there are ways to release those as well. Some of these might be journaling or, you know, forgiveness exercises. We can have a dialogue with people from the past in our mind, or even a dialogue with body parts, and listen and see what comes up from the unconscious or what messages they have. We can also store emotions that we have no awareness of. She gave an example of someone with a lot of anger stored in the shoulder that prevented lifting the shoulder up high. She gave a lot of examples of the language that we use, you know, like we talk about, you know, having a pain in the neck or stabbed in the back, that our system holds that sort of thing. Certainly, I've noticed if, you know, people are feeling overwhelmed and burdened, they tend to carry, you know, they'll have back pain. So these repeated thoughts then become our beliefs, and those beliefs become physical manifestations. She shared that anger, and particularly passion, these carry a lot of energy, and so we have to be especially cautious of these and not to store this. We talked about how often people will complain about their physical ailments, like whoever is in the most pain wins almost. And she says, yes, this is actually, you know, people are seeking compassion, or they're seeking empathy, they're seeking attention, that there's an addictive quality to this, or can be, where they're seeking that benefit from that negative clinging to those negative feelings. And just the body speaks our mind. We have to be careful with this. She talked about heart attack challenges, and said, you know, often she has worked with people where their emotions just cracked right open after they worked together. All come of that residue of old traumas being released. And that often people afterwards feel lighter and they look brighter. So in emotional context, she stressed, it's important how we think about things. Things are not as bad as we think.
She has a really good rule for this. If things are bad, there's no harm in expressing it once. We don't have to have our head in the clouds. The problem comes when it's a repeated story we tell over and over again, ingraining it into our system. So we want to reframe it in our mind that these are not emotional challenges, but these are learning experiences, and find some benefit. So that we can not just, you know, paper over things, but rather have an authentic positive mindset. I really like that distinction she's made there. And I hadn't thought of this, but then she says we can thank our unconscious mind for processing it. Well, what a beautiful positive thing to put in anything, right? Even if we're just feeling it and it feels bad, we still can thank our unconscious mind for processing it, and that turns the energy positive. She made an interesting point that our subconscious mind is like a six-year-old. You know, it needs to be appreciated. And it's important in this context to develop that inner self-love and acceptance. She talked about working on forgiveness and how important that is. She shared an Edgar Cayce quote who said, forgiveness heals and empowers the one who forgives. And the hardest of all, especially self-forgiveness. This is really a difficult one, but it's very, very powerful when we learn to do that. We talked about the connection between thoughts and emotion. And for Linda, the body and the subconscious are married. So by learning how to listen, right, we can start to have that immediate awareness to the body. Thoughts often trigger emotions. Thoughts can, you know, run our bodies. But by noticing what's going on, we can really start to be present. So she has a nice little four-part thing that she made concise for us. Those negative things come up. You do these four things. Be present. Be aware. Be willing to feel it. And breathe. She especially talked about having a ha breath, like breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, a kind of a sigh. And that this will start to shift energy. Simple things like body posture, just learning to listen. That's actually one of her tips and a free handout she has on her website about learning to listen, about how we can start to be fully present. And you can get there at her website, thoughtchange.com, thoughtchange.com. So, we talked a little bit about energy healing. She says, you know, the bulk of work she likes to do energetically, whether it's dream work or things that it's less logical than going through things one by one. Things can be moved at many levels and all at once, versus working through them one at a time in a very, painstaking way. So she likes to do some clearing work first and then the higher vibration energy. And to that, you can have this incredible awareness instead of this slow, dark trod through dark territory. She reminded us to embrace our emotions and experience more fully emotions, and reminded us that that means joy, it means happiness, it means peace. You know, that there are many, many wonderful emotions that we're meant to be felt and to be celebrated. So, wow. Thanking my unconscious for processing, I think that's my biggest takeaway. So, again, go to her website, thoughtchange.com, for more information, and download her free gift about learning to listen. I'm so glad that she was able to make this and spend some time with us today. I learned a great deal, and I think you did as well. So thanks for joining us. Take care for now.